On January the 4th, 2011, Mohamed Bouzazi died. The Tunisian street vendor had set himself alight in protest against police corruption, and in doing so, triggered the largest wave of Middle Eastern political protest in a generation. Tunisia's Zine El Abidine Ben Ali was the first leader to fall, fleeing to Saudi Arabia after just 15 days, as protesters demanding political reform flooded onto the streets of the Middle East. By the time the year drew to a close, Egypt's Hosni Mubarak, leader for almost 30 years, was on trial for sanctioning the murder of demonstrators, while Libyan dictator Colonel Gaddafi was dead, pulled from an underground tunnel by a revolutionary mob, shot in the head outside his hometown. Demonstrations are continuing in Syria and now beginning in Russia. Where both will lead remains uncertain. In Britain, too, people took to the streets, though the purposes were less clear. For 5 nights in August, rioters looted, vandalised and destroyed shops and businesses, ostensibly in protest at the shooting of a London man. The economic toll was considerable, the human one more so. 3 men, including 2 brothers, were run down and killed when trying to protect their neighbourhood in Birmingham. Tariq Jahan's son died in the attacks.
I lost my son. Blacks, Asians, whites, we all live in the same community. Why do we have to kill one another? What started these riots and what's escalated? Why are we doing this? I lost my son. Step forward if you want to lose your sons. Otherwise, calm down and go home.
This is a magnificent display of solidarity of 29 or even 30 trade unions.
November saw more non-violent protests as members of the UK's public service unions came out on strike against proposed changes to their pension arrangements. Schools shut, operations were postponed, and transport services closed. But the day was mostly remembered for this man and this quote.
Frankly, I'd have them all shot. I would take them outside and execute them in front of their families. I mean, how dare they go on strike when they've got these gilt-edged pensions that are going to be guaranteed while the rest of us have to work for a living?
Flash, bang, wallop, what a picture. Tomorrow, the news of the world brings you the cheeky...
168 years. That's how long the news of the world had been in circulation, until 2011. The news that the telephones of celebrities had been hacked were distasteful, but revelations that murdered schoolgirl Millie Dowler had also been targeted caused outrage. News International chair Rebecca Brooks was the most high-profile casualty of the furore that followed, but it was Rupert Murdoch, summoned to appear before Parliament, who was left with egg, or rather pie, on his face. Technocrat. Deficit. Crisis. 3 words used with increasing frequency and alarm as 2011 drew to a close. As the fiscal woes of the Eurozone deepened, European governments fell. First to go was that of George Papandreou, the Greek Prime Minister, followed by Mr. Bunga Bunga himself, Silvio Berlusconi. Summit followed summit as European governments tried, with limited success, to find a solution to the continent's fiscal woes. The latest saw David Cameron walk away from negotiations on a new treaty. His backbenchers were pleased, his coalition partners were not.
Bitterly disappointed by the outcome of last week's summit, precisely because I think there is now a real danger that over time the United Kingdom will be isolated and marginalised within the European Union. I don't think that's good for jobs in the city or elsewhere. I don't think it's good for growth. I don't think it's good for families up and down the country. And that's why I, as a Liberal Democrat in this coalition government, will now do everything I can to make sure that this setback does not become a permanent divide.
2011, then, was a year when leaders, institutions and the old political certainties fell away. The question for 2012 is what comes next?